Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. A move for common sense gun laws heads to the states, plus will Trump judges decide a decade of civil rights? Topping our news, fired cop Daniel Pantaleo will sue the police commissioner James O'Neill and the NYPD in New York to win back his job. That from the New York Post. His lawyer said Monday Pantaleo filed the suit under the state civil practice law and rules. NYPD Commissioner O'Neill fired Pantaleo over the death of Eric Garner in a 2014 incident on Staten Island that fueled the Black Lives Matter movement, that when a cell phone video showed the victim repeatedly shouting, "I can't breathe." And as talk of federal gun control legislation continue in the weeks following the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton that claimed 31 lives, some Tennessee lawmakers are pushing for what they call common sense gun laws.
Democratic Representative and Caucus Chair Michael Stewart of Nashville says there are clear steps the governor could take.
Here in this state, Governor Lee should have us implement universal background checks like Colorado and many other states have done. That's step one.
Early this year, Republican Senator Steve Dickerson introduced State Senate Bill 1178, a so-called red flag bill that would allow law enforcement to petition a court to temporarily remove a person's access to firearms if believed to be a danger to themselves or others. Lee has said it's still too early to consider such measures. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Facing mounting public pressure and protest outside his Louisville home, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has recently announced the Senate could possibly consider gun control legislation when lawmakers return in the fall. Meantime, a judicial watchdog group says McConnell's created an assembly line for approving conservative judges who will determine the civil rights of Americans for decades to come.
Before recessing last month, the Republican-controlled Senate confirmed 13 new judges to lifetime appointments in a two-day period. Daniel Goldberg with the Alliance for Justice says young, white, mostly male judges will rule in the rights for workers, women, the LGBTQ community, and consumer protections for the next 3 to 5 decades.
People who will use the court, who will use their position as lifetime judges to jam a radical agenda that they could not achieve otherwise onto the country.
Since President Donald Trump took office, he said 146 federal judges confirmed by the Senate, compared with 20 during President Barack Obama's last 2 years in office. I'm Roz Brown.
Earlier this year, you may recall McConnell led a vote to change the rules of debate for confirming district judges from 30 hours to 2 hours. That followed his decision to block Merrick Garland, Obama's pick for the Supreme Court, for almost a year. This is PNS. More than a year after U.S. Supreme Court ruling, some thought would deal a big blow to unions. Eric Tegetthoff reports the organization showed no signs of slowing down, at least in Washington state.
The 2018 decision on Janus versus AFSCME had the potential to cut off one revenue stream to public unions, allowing employees to shirk fair share fees even as the unions continued to negotiate for them. The Olympia-based group Freedom Foundation thought this would be an opportunity to get union members to opt out of paying these fees. Peter Starzynski with the Northwest Accountability Project says that isn't how things played out.
The reality is their effort has been a failure as we've seen union membership in Washington increase. And all along the West Coast, including in Washington, unions continue to win important victories like increases in the minimum wage, paid sick leave for all, fair scheduling.
Union membership in the Evergreen State actually grew in 2018, part of a trend that began in 2014. Representation is now close to 20% of the workforce, making Washington the third most unionized state in the country, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Freedom Foundation did not respond to a request for comment on this story.
Membership in the Washington Federation of State Employees grew from 44,000 before the Janus ruling to 45,000 after that ruling. And the life expectancy for people in Wisconsin has declined for a second straight year. That's according to a new report.
The nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum compiled data from the State Department of Health Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, showing increased deaths from alcohol abuse and opioids. The group's policy researcher, Mark Summerhauser, says he also noticed a troubling mortality trend among the state's black residents.
What we found is that overall mortality among Black Wisconsinites did increase by about 24% within that time period from 1999 to 2017, and that was something that flew in the face of a national trend.
Mortality rates for Black Americans were down by 6% during that same time period. Sommerhauser says he's unsure of the exact cause of the trend, but notes the state's opioid death rate for Black people in 2017 was nearly double the national average. In Milwaukee County, the opioid death rate for all races was more than twice the statewide rate between 2013 and 2017. I'm Tramell Gomes.
The mandatory display of the motto, In God We Trust, is going to greet South Dakota students when they return to public schools on Thursday. Annie Laurie Gaylor is with the Freedom from Religion Foundation. She believes it's improper.
We think this is a very inappropriate motto because we have a godless constitution. We are not a theocracy. Nobody has to believe in God. God is no part of our government.
Congress adopted the In God We Trust motto back in 1956. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.